state legislators have to make deals that can affect Washingtonians for generations to come. But a lot of that deal making happens behind closed doors. For example, right now, lawmakers in Olympia are locked in negotiations trying to solve one of the state's biggest issues, how to fund education. You're listening to KNKX, and 88.5's Will James spoke to two former state lawmakers about how these kinds of deals come together. The first answer you'll hear is from a Republican, former Senate Majority Leader Bill Finkbeiner. The second is from a Democrat, Ross Hunter, the former chief budget writer in the House.
You guys were both involved in negotiations in your respective chambers and your respective parties. Set the scene for us. I mean, when these high-stakes negotiations are going on, how often are the two sides meeting and where are they meeting, that sort of stuff?
I always think of it, it's just like anything else. I used to, you know, back when there were video rental stores, they used to always say, it's like going into a video rental store with like 80 of your friends and saying, what movie are we going to watch?
In the beginning, you don't meet in person all that often. Senator Hill was my bargaining partner, and he and I worked together. We probably met once a week for lunch. But in order to make an offer to the other side, it's a $40 billion budget. It's got to all work. So you have to do it on paper. Like, you're not sitting in a room in the beginning saying, well, I'll move a billion here. You can't do that. It's got a balance, got a foot. So we send over a big wad of paper, and then we go meet and talk about the things that are really important in it. And then we go away, and they spend 3 days figuring out what we sent over. And then they send something back.
I mean, Bill, for instance, you were the majority leader in the Republican-controlled state Senate. It's pressure from both sides. I mean, you're negotiating with your counterparts in the Democratic House, mm-hmm. and then at the end, you've got to sell whatever deal you make to your own caucus, right? Can you talk about that a little bit?
That's actually a huge part. That's the part that took me a long time to learn. Part of it is how you bring it back. Do you bring it back and do you say, well, we made this deal and that deal and we gave on this? Or do you say, oh, we won, which is usually the way it goes. We won. We really stuck it to them in those negotiations, and you know, and then you have to bring people along because you gotta have those votes for it.
A lot of what we're talking about negotiating things like budgets happens behind closed doors. Do you think that the public should be able to watch these negotiations go on? Is there a reason that they shouldn't be public?
I think that some of it has to be public. There has to be a open and honest debate that, you know, that happens on the floor of the House or the Senate. Then when you get into like, well, should people be in the room when, you know, the papers are getting handed back and forth and people are negotiating on that? I get why the public has an interest in it, but I also believe that we get a worse result when those are entirely public. And I think that some of the challenges that we're having today with the hyperpartisanship, with the people playing role, I'm trying to think of the right way to say it, but I feel like there's a lot of people who are playing a role more than solving a problem. And I think part of that is because of the more public nature of the inside of the job.
If I don't know why my negotiating partner is doing something, I can't figure out how to make an offer that's going to work. Mm-hmm. But he probably can't say that in public because it wouldn't happen.
You know, we think of politics as a really vicious game of threats and pressure tactics. Does it pay off to just dispense with the niceties and play hardball?
You know, trial lawyers will often come into the legislature thinking that they're going to use their legal skills, and they only see a jury once, and they always go hard. They're always doing these flamboyant strategies, taking out ads in the paper against the speaker. That's a bad strategy for a freshman senator. You might get a vote once, but politics is not that game. You have to do this over and over again with the same people, and the trust that they build up for you matters.
Bill Finkbeiner, you once advocated for getting rid of the physical aisle that separates the two parties in the Senate. But when you have two parties that have an incentive to defeat each other and to take control, to what extent do these personal relationships really matter? Do these little personal interactions really make a difference in the day-to-day operations of the legislature?
Yeah, I think they make all the difference in the world. I think, again, if you just think about any negotiations that you have with anybody, for them to work, you have to start from a foundation of trust. You have to, and they are helped by the little social interactions, the talking to people about their day, about their kids or their grandkids or whatever, and having those relationships. And there's sort of, you know, two sides of politics. There's the side of politics of getting things done and passing legislation and passing budgets, and then there's a side of politics that is getting elected. And they conflict a lot of times.
Ross Hunter, Bill Finkbeiner, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, and I always like talking to Bill.
That was 88.5's Will James speaking with two former state lawmakers, Democrat Ross Hunter and Republican Bill Finkbeiner. That story was part of our series, Unpacking Government. You can hear the rest of the series at knkx.org.